call House State Affairs to order. Well, I can just visit until the quorum gets there. Call House State Affairs to order at 8:30 on January 24th. We need two more people here to have a quorum, but while we're doing that, for the records, I'd like to welcome our new members, Ann and Sponholz, right?
Correct.
Hey, you did all right on the first. And Representative Kurt Bernard. Ann, we'd especially like to welcome you. You're playing a unique role in Alaska's history, and you're a kind of custodian for the 15,000 people of your district, and I know you do an outstanding job. And Kurt, we've served together on a number of committees before, and I'd like to welcome you here. Briefly, you might take while the rest of the people are, and I know they're en route, might take a look at the legislation that we have in our packets here this morning. It is my hope to move HB 56, which is the Alaska Women's Commission, out of a committee this morning. Also, HJR1. I'll let the record show that Representative Alice Hanley is present. HJR1, which is legislative meetings, they're open to the public. I understand that Representative Donnelly has some legislation regarding that. Then an overview of the Department of Public Safety. We've indicated to them that they can show up about 8:45. We have a majority caucus this morning, I believe it's 10 o'clock. I would like to get the business of the committee done by that time. So we'll just stand in recess for a few minutes till one more member, and I'd like to take the opportunity to thank the public for being here this morning. How many people do we have online? Okay, Ruth Lickwood. I think it would be in order here. Dennis, would you like to go ahead and hear what Ruth has to say? I can read the other. Ruth, we're still lacking a quorum. We can't conduct any business, but we can certainly hear what you've got to say. Why don't you go ahead give any comments that you might care to give at this time.
Thank you, Representative Thatcher. Can you hear me? Is this a good voice?
Beg your pardon?
You're saying, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we can hear you fine.
Okay, my testimony today was going to be brief since I did testify before, and since I wanted to be available to comment on any possible amendments that might be looked at. What I thought I would testify today on was the kind of work that the Commission has done and what we're planning to do. Probably the group in the committee is most familiar with the kinds of bills we have proposed and worked on. For example, back in 81-82, the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, and it's really gratifying for me to see how well received and quickly that bill, the sunset bill for the council, is moving through now, because I remember in the early days that some of the criticism then that was made of domestic violence programs and is actually now being made of the commission is no longer being made against those programs, and the kind of work they're doing is well accepted. Another thing people may be familiar with is the analysis we made of Alaska statutes to see that they were gender neutral in language and impact and example of the kind of bill that we proposed, in fact, was passed by the legislature, that came out of that was the pension reform bill. In that bill, a spouse has to be notified and, in fact, signed if they're, if a person working in state government intends to sign over someone else as a beneficiary. There have been cases where women who had been homemakers for long periods of time and then went through a divorce found that they, or were widows, found that they had no access to resources. Other things that we had worked on were legal rights handbook for women, which you're probably familiar with, and has been widely distributed and much used both in DA's offices, shelter programs, and legal services offices throughout the state. A book called The Sense of History, which talks about well-known Alaska women across the state, and I think it's a really good way, particularly for younger women, to see the kinds of accomplishments that women in Alaska have made. We've worked a lot on some of the early stuff on fetal alcohol syndrome, women and alcohol, and on displaced homemakers, which unfortunately didn't continue to be funded by the legislature, but it was a concern of the Women's Commission, and we hope at some future point some form of that will again be funded. And looking at the kinds of things we are planning to work on coming up this session, again, will be as the divorce dissolution bill, which is being sponsored by the governor and came out of the research that the commission did on the impact of divorce and dissolution on women, showing that women's per capita income made a marked decline after a divorce. This bill will ask for heightened judicial scrutiny in cases of dissolution where there has been domestic violence, where minor children are involved, where one person has an attorney, or where there is a clear inequity in the distribution of resources. It will also ask judges to look at career assets. Particularly, we have seen where one partner, and usually this is the woman, is staying at home and doing child rearing or doing jobs that are low paying and not allowing her to grow in terms of her resources. And at the time of divorce, her partner may have acquired through training or education access to much higher resources, and that there needs to be some more equitable distribution of that so that women are and children are not left in poverty. Another bill that we feel is very important and we'll be working on is parental leave, the importance of being women and men being able to stay home with infants after birth or adoption, and also to be able to look after seriously ill children or parents, something that we are strongly advocating for. There's no way that we can deny the increasing and already high number of women who are in the workforce, but for probably all women, trying to balance work and a family is a very difficult thing, and I think that that's something that needs to be recognized by employers. We're going to be looking at, in particular, at teens and young women, teen pregnancy, leadership skills for women, better education and training for a wider variety of jobs. The impact of welfare reform is something that is, the Women's Commission, along with other state agencies, will be involved in. Health care continues to be a major issue that is not adequately addressed in the state. And finally, an update and reprint of the Legal Rights Handbook, which is now out of print and which needs to be updated, are some of the things that we're looking at for the next year. As I said, I was going to keep my testimony brief, but I would be happy to answer any questions that come up. Thank you.
Are there any comments or questions from the commission or from the committee? If not, we'll go ahead and proceed with public testimony here. Alice Bergdahl. Thank you, Alice. Would you give your name, address for the record, please?
My name is Alice Bergdahl, and I'm from Juneau, 5896 Lund Street. And I wanted to address House Bill 56 today. I'm opposed to the legislation, and one of the things that they've been talking about is being an advocate for women's issues. And yet I feel that we already have that forum, and we have it in a way that I think better represents the constituents of Alaska, and that's through our personal representatives from our areas. I think any one of our elected officials would be offended if we did not consider them an advocate for the concerns of the people they represent. I think it's also an opportunity to be able to have a better way to input on these issues. Our representatives and senators run according to what on stands that they feel strongly about, and also trying to get the feel of their constituents through and knowing that they have to be sensitive to that in order to be elected. There's a diversity in our legislature on these issues, and I think we're a state that should be addressing diversity. The Women's Commission tends to have a philosophy that is more one direction than another, and not necessarily representing the philosophy that I as a woman feel the way women's issues should be addressed. Through the election process, I have an opportunity to speak that and try and encourage people to run. And also through the organizations that I choose to be involved in, we can also influence. It's sort of like another level of bureaucracy, which spreads us out a lot thinner, and also it is appointed by the governor, which gives us less ability to influence. And I just I feel there's better ways that all women's issues can be addressed, and in a way that the diversity of the women want them addressed. And so I'm opposed to it for that reason. Another thing is they say they're a research organization, but there are a lot of very professional organizations in our society today that do excellent research, and many women's organizations use them. And so it's sort of like, to me, a duplication of service. I'm sure the Women's Commission have access to these research organizations but have to pay for their services. And there's already women's organizations in Alaska that are aware that they exist and use them. And use them maybe even to influence legislation, either through lobbyists, through their own organizations, or through their elected officials. And I do know that the governor has challenged our elected officials to find ways of keeping within the budget, and I do consider it a duplication of services. And I think it's already being addressed in a way I'm more comfortable with than through the Women's Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Alice. Is there any questions or comments from the committee? Thank you very much. Paula Ziegler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Paula Ziegler, Chair of the Alaska Women's Commission. I, too, have already spoken, so as Ruth, I'm here mostly to address questions you might have, and when we get, if we do to the point where we're considering amendments, I'd certainly be available to speak. I might make a couple of comments and also call your attention to some testimony in your packets from another Juneau resident named Kathleen Wakefield, who I hope will acquaint you with the fact by reading it that there's are also, Alice talked about diversity, that there's a diversity of opinion about the Women's Commission among mothers who stay at home with their children, too. And that's the point of Kathleen's testimony, that even though at this time she's choosing to do that because she can, lots of people don't have that choice. The other point I wanted to make, because it's come up, is and we've alluded to it last week, about our representativeness and sort of this whole category of people that we're calling homemakers, and the implication sort of being that homemakers are not being heard either by or before the Women's Commission, or even worse in my view, I think, is the fact that there are no homemakers on the Women's Commission, or very few. I would submit to you that everybody on the Women's Commission and all the staff are homemakers. I don't know about Merritt. He's our male member, and I frankly don't know what his arrangement is. But the rest of us, believe me, are also homemakers in addition to the other things we do. The fact that, at the moment, speaking personally, I happen to live by myself and am also the breadwinner, but there's just one person in my home, doesn't make it any less a home. And I consider myself a homemaker too. And the most important lesson I think that we have learned during this time of testimony is that our responsibility to look carefully at this whole group of our population that's female includes very definitely that responsibility to know that we're not all in the same place at the same time. And I pledge to you on behalf of the commission, and certainly for myself, that is not forgotten. And our responsibility to communicate that to the general population is also very high on the list, because clearly the perception is that we've not been doing that. But, you know, you can only speak what's in your own mind and heart, and that's what's in mine. And I would think and imagine that with careful budget management, which, believe me, we practice, our bureaucracy is pretty little, and we do a lot with it. Our research is generally done in-house because it's cheaper. Our last research project, the divorce study, we contracted out the statistical part running through the computer. Now we have access to computer time to do that ourselves in the event we're around to do another study. So,
excuse me, Anchorage has lost transmission.
At any rate, with that, I'll conclude now, but please know that I'm here to address any other issues that come up, and I'm available for questions.
Thank you, Paula. Any comments or questions from the committee? Carol Gray? Is Carol Gray here?
The record mentions that I spoke and mentioned comparable worth, and that I felt that comparable worth, I believed it was vital to the economic well-being of this state. And I'm very sorry that I didn't make myself more clear, but I am very much opposed to the concept of comparable worth, and I didn't realize I was being misunderstood on that issue. So I'd like to clarify that one point. When wages are established by the free market system with equal opportunity and fairness, women have the opportunity for economic freedom and success. The economic status of women, which is very much a concern of the Alaska Women's Commission, which is why I mentioned this issue, will not be helped by arbitrary decisions equating work usually done by women with the worth of jobs usually performed by men. Employers and employees should be free to make decisions on wages and not have such decisions imposed upon them, as would be the case under a system of comparable worth. The reason I point out the comparable worth issue is that the Alaska Women's Commission has given a forum to speakers who are in support of this economic system. The other item I would like to clarify concerning my testimony concerns my testimony on the child care issue. The point I was trying to make is that the Alaska Women's Commission supports increased governmental involvement in providing childcare, and by doing so would increase the cost of government. Another issue vital to the health of our state and our nation is the issue of abortion, as we were reminded again yesterday. I personally cannot support a commission whose viewpoint seems to be in such stark opposition to defending the rights of the unborn woman. Lest I be accused of big rhetoric, let me cite the record of the Alaska Women's Commission through their workshops and speakers who have reflected support for reproductive rights and the commission's support for the Civil Rights Restoration Act of 1985, which sought to preserve reproductive choice. And that would be the so-called right of a mother to abort her unborn child. As a voting Alaskan woman, I do not wish the Alaska Women's Commission to speak for me on legislation concerning abortion. And I would ask you, is it proper for a state-funded commission to use its political power to influence legislation on issues of moral choice? I would like to challenge you with a statement by Penny Pullen, who served for many years in the Illinois State Legislature. And I'm quoting from her a speech entitled How Legislators Can Be Conned by Comparable Work, when she spoke concerning this issue. Let me just briefly read her statement. I'm a reluctant member of the Conference of Women Legislators in Illinois. Someone made a comment to me earlier this year that women legislators will be treated as something different, perhaps a little bit second class, as long as they think they need their own caucus. I agree, and I think that this applies across the board in society to women, i.e. that women will be treated as second-class citizens as long as they think they need special treatment. This doesn't mean that the majority of women think that, but they are being represented as though they do. No one is suggesting that employers should not be concerned about pay equity. It is in the self-interest of employers, in fact, to be concerned about staff morale and fair treatment. What we are talking about is sex consciousness. I think that sex consciousness is as inappropriate a form of discrimination in public policy as any other kind of sex discrimination, which has been discussed over the years or as a part of public policy. I wonder if making women's issues a matter of permanent public policy by establishing the Alaska Women's Commission as a permanent commission will actually devalue the economic status of women, disparage the role of the full-time homemaker, and detract from pursuing fairness in employment opportunities for all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carol. Are there any questions? Thank you, Carol. Are there any questions? Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just curious about the agenda. Will we continue now with the Women's Commission bill, or will we be taking testimony from public safety? I had a couple of amendments, and I will call my staff to bring them over if we're going to continue.
We're
going to
continue. If I have to recess and we stay at this today, we are going to move on with this legislation.
Okay.
So there'll be ample time for amendments and so forth. Sue Miller?
My name is Sue Miller, and I am a resident of the state of Alaska since 1955. My position is, of course, as mentioned last time, in opposition to the Alaska Women's Commission, and I would like to take up at least three phases today. One, I would like to speak to some of the testimony that was made last week. I'd like to talk about flat statements that are made and sometimes are not truly understood and possibly accepted from the flat statement. And I think it's really important that we have an understanding amongst each other of what we're actually trying to say. And Ms. Ziegler last time made a flat statement that she said, of course, the Women's Commission has been accused of not being representative, and she said there will be those who disagree. And we are not saying that there won't be people who disagree or there won't be people who do agree. But we have gathered sufficient statistics to show that there are a majority of women within the state who do disagree. And we have been trying to get people to hear our point of view and listen to those statistics. She also stated that philosophies and points of views cannot be quantified, and yet there are statistics which state where they can be quantified in surveys and polls. For instance, in the Dittman poll, which was run, it stated 70% of the people on the Kenai Peninsula were not in favor of the commission. They thought that if there had to be a commission, then it should be combined. This was run last year. The budget and audit report 2 years ago, on which Senator Paul Fisher based his recommendation that the commission be dissolved, was an independent body which stated that the commission's results could not be measurable. No one could know how they could get the value for money. This is a quantification by an independent group which stated that the commission's works were well able to be accomplished by the other commissions already in existence, EEO, human rights, so forth. It was not in the minutes that I did want it to come out that I was not too happy when Ms. Ziegler said that, and I quoted what she said last time, that she said, no one has come to us to find out what we do believe. Yes, we have come to them to find out what they do believe. In fact, we have done a major research project on what they do believe, and we have disseminated that information, and we will disseminate it to you this morning. Jim Zawacki, who was here last time, asked in one of our statements of how we had been thwarted as a task force of advocates for women who wanted to present an alternate proposal where a commission, if it had to be formed, could truly represent all women. And we have here 3 or 4 pages, which we promised you, Mr. Boucher, of dates and times of how we were thwarted in even having an opportunity before the interim commission was established to even be heard out of the governor's office. Last time, Ms. Gall said, and of course Ms. Gray has already corrected the fact that the teleconference had nothing to do with child care. It seems so often that when we're trying to express our opinion that insignificant points are brought out which obscure the point that we're trying to make. And the point, as Ms. Gray so ably said this morning, was not about the who indeed promoted the conference on child care, but the very two strong differences about how child care should be accomplished. The need of child care is indeed evident, but should we go for an Alaskan large bureaucracy that's going to cost a lot of money to care for our children? Or should we instead support the 3 federal bills, one of which is a Holloway bill, which gives tax credits to all women who need child care, and therefore they can have their own freedom of choice to choose whether they want their children cared for in a licensed place or whether they want their church or their neighbor to care for their children. She also stated that they were working for equality of opportunity, and of course we're all working for that. Many organizations are. She also stated that that we had no basis for our statement, that the issues that they approach are very controversial, and she mentioned bills such as the pension bill and the welfare bill. What I show you in just a few moments will show you the very intensely controversial nature of these bills. The stands that the Women's Commission has taken on some of these go to the very root of our beliefs, the whole reason why some of us women are up here unpaid, tracking them for 10 years, because of the depth of our feeling about these issues, including one that Miss Gray talked about today. She said that no other agency can bring together the needs of women. I was listening to Peter Gall last night, and he was talking about forming a Native Commission. And I thought to myself, does the Native Commission then, are they not going to speak for the needs of Native women? Is the Senior Citizen Commission not going to speak to the needs of senior citizen women? The other interesting thing that Mr. Gall said last night on television was that he said, you know, the reason we need to have this is because the state has been imposing on the natives what we think that they should have. And we feel that this commission would give a balanced viewpoint so that the native people could make their own decisions. And I had to laugh. And I thought, why can't they hear what we're trying to say up there? That's exactly what we're saying. We do not want this commission at all because they have been imposing their views on our moral values and our religious beliefs that are very, very strong. I have prepared for you each an agenda packet. If you'd like to take it, Mr. Menard.
Let the record show that Representative Donnelly and Representative McLean are present.
Does everyone have a study package? Speak louder. I wouldn't want you to miss a thing. All right, if you'll look at this study packet on the Alaska Women's Commission, it will show you why the controversy swirls around this particular commission. Do I have to hold this all the time?
Just for the record, I'm one that lets lots of discussion go. But I'm going to let you continue with because you've expressed to me that you felt that the group was being suppressed. Yeah. Now, we're wandering all over the place, but probably with reason. So to let you get this on the record and off your mind, I'm going to go ahead and allow the testimony.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
But I would ask that we keep within the confines of the legislation.
Thank you. Okay, this speaks to the legislation and to the fact that the comments have been made that this commission is not controversial and that a very few people would disagree. If you'll notice, these things, which are controversial in here, are taken from the Women's Commission's own status reports from 1982 to 1987. And you'll notice number six, they say that they would like to update information on health care, reproductive rights. Number one, the goals from Lisa Rudd's speech on historical perspective are their abortion regulations. Notice number three, that they would like to get women to run for office, and yet Representative Alice Hanley, Senator DeVries, were approached by women from the Alaska Women's Lobby and women who are working with these commission groups and were asked if they were pro-life, and they received no offers of help when they were told that they were pro-life, not pro-choice. The sex stereotyping in the textbooks is something that upsets traditional women tremendously because they don't feel that sex roles should be denied. Neutral pronouns, number two, was a very expensive procedure which upset women who feel that money should be saved, because all it had to have done in any statute was a paragraph at the beginning to state that anything that says his or he would mean a generic mankind. Number eight on page 11 is their push for comparable worth, which they now call pay equity or state reclassification of wage scales. Number nine, their push for ERA, which was so controversial that it took 10 years of fighting in the national to get rid of it. Of course, we do have ERA here in the state of Alaska, but it is a very controversial subject. Number 10, their support for children and youth, and they mentioned peace, disarmament. Number 12, their discriminatory language in HB 493. Number 17, their gender-based insurance, which raises the premiums of women careful drivers. On page 12, many women, it's very controversial to women concerning the marital rape, whether it does exist. HB 262, they supported, which would increase expense. They wanted to have daycare and state office buildings, which would put more regulation upon private enterprise. In their conferences and workshops on page 13, you'll notice that they sought reproductive freedom. They had a feminist fly-in where they're associated with NOW organization, which is an organization which is anathema to many women. Line 11, they talked about the feminist frontier, which shows that it works for a minority of women. Page 14, they talk about the Civil Rights Restoration Act, which to traditional women is the largest intrusion of government in private lives ever. Workshop titles, you'll notice they talked about health curriculum, which includes values clarification. Values clarification is a highly controversial issue. Justification of pay disparity on page 15. What could be more controversial than their subject in their workshop about public policy and the lesbian, how do we survive? They would support legislation prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation. Support public education on the lesbian issue, which would include lesbian membership on steering committees, on workshop panels, as keynote speakers, and as a subject of educational materials developed by the commission. And the studies that they have conducted are many of the studies which they have stated. So this is put in public record. The research has been quoted directly from their own status report, so there's no opportunity to put in any editorial comments. But the point I would like to make is that this commission is highly controversial. Many women feel that it should not be, but if it's going to be, we would like to be able to have amendments so that it's more responsive. Thank you for your patience. I appreciate it.
And that's what we're here for. Are there any questions or comments? And if there's any more testimony that you desire to put in the record or on the record, feel free to do so.
Thank you. Representative Downey.
Yes, Representative Downey.
Thanks. I just had a question on item number 3 on page 2, the running for office.
Yes.
The commission's not allowed to actively support any candidates for office, are they?
No, the individuals that were, you know, in the commission. Now, Mrs. Hanley is here, perhaps she can state.
But the commission as an entity doesn't do that activity at all.
The women's lobby does.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe perhaps just a point of clarification, and I think I have stated, I think the Women's Political Action Group does send out a card and basically says that two of their priorities are...
We cannot hear the questions, please.
The Women's Political Action Group does send out information during legislative races and do state that their priorities are the support of ERA and the support of the Supreme Court decision on abortion, which very truthfully I appreciate. And they basically say, you know, if you agree with us, we would like to interview you. And if you don't agree with us, you know, perhaps you might want to consider not making an appointment, which I think is very good, because I think they stayed up front what their priorities are, so that my choice is usually not to interview because of my pro-choice stand. And they have made very clear that on my pro-life stand, and they have made clear, you know, that they would like to support women who are pro-choice. So, anyway, that's, you know, and that particular women's group, I think that so many of the women's groups do advocate pro-choice, and so that a candidate, whether she, you know, whether it's a woman or a man, the most important thing is pro-choice, not whether it's a woman candidate.
Representative Dominic?
I just want to get this clear in my mind. Is the group that you were just mentioning, Representative Hanley, is that group somehow affiliated with the Women's Commission, or are they a sub-entity or some?
No, I'm not aware of an affiliation. I don't know if some of the women on the Women's Commission are also involved. I don't know. I know that the Women Political Action Group is the one that does support candidates and interviews candidates. And that's the one that I'm particularly familiar with.
Well, the reason I'm asking, Mr. Chairman, is because there seemed to be an allegation here that a state organization was somehow active in politics, which I think would be improper, but under further examination, it doesn't seem like that's really being alleged here.
If I could just answer that, the Alaska Women's Lobby, which Sherry Gall, I understand, is a lobbyist, there are many organizations which interact, and the same people show up in those various organizations. And we're not allegating on that the Alaska Women's Commission did that. We are simply stating to show there to the side that the women that interact with them, that show up in all these various things. For instance, I have a piece of paper at home which states that Alaska Women's Lobby says we will work for pro-choice candidates. And they interact with the Women's Commission and network with them.
Representative Downey?
Well, we all interact with the Democratic or the Republican parties. I mean, yeah, I think as long as there's a dichotomy between the official acts of the commission and their political activities, I don't have any problem with that at all. So I wanted to make sure that you weren't alleging that they were using the commission as some sort of political vehicle.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm alleging the interaction.
Are there any other questions? Thank you very much. Where's my other worksheet, Dennis? Can we go on to that? Betty Bankston, why don't you indicate to Commissioner English that it looks like we're going to be, I'd say, a good half hour. So, thank you very much.
Good morning, Representative Boucher and committee members. I apologize for having to leave early and arriving late. That's the way life goes at my house right now. Am I on? Okay, lots of sick children. I do not want to reiterate much of what has already been said. I will state up front that I have been all along opposed to the Alaska Women's Commission, and I think that several women have done an excellent job of stating why there is so much opposition. I have been bothered about this particular piece of legislation for a couple of reasons. First of all, it really disturbs me that there has been no fiscal note attached to this piece of legislation. Thank you. When we look at the line item budget through the governor, we know that he had to give money in order for this commission to exist, even as interim, and that part of our opposition to it last year had to do with the amount of money that is required to fund this particular commission. And I think that when a particular piece of legislation is sent out and there is no fiscal note attached to it, that is a gross deception to the community. And I personally have a lot of trouble with that because I know that the commission has cost us a lot of money. Several people have already pointed out to you that there's been a lot of duplicity between what this commission does and what some other state organizations do. I do also view this as another layering of government in that sense. Last week, Paula Ziegler mentioned that 67% of the women in the state of Alaska work. Now, on line 15, and I do not have a copy of the committee substitute, this is the original bill, it says at least one member must be a homemaker. If 67% of the women work, that means that there are 33% of us out here that do not work. Why is there not a fairer representation of homemakers going to be put on this commission? It would seem to me that if you have 10 commission members, at least 3 of them should be homemakers. And in order to bring a particular so that the commission will be a fairer balance in representation. At present, Paula Ziegler stated that 9 of the 10 commission members work outside the home. And so I think that there really has been, in that, for that reason, possibly a poor lack of representation for those of us who have chosen homemaking as a profession. Also, I am a military wife. My husband is an officer in the Coast Guard. Mentioned, I immediately thought of so many military women in this state. Many of those women do not like the state of Alaska. They are here because their husbands' jobs are here. They have some very unique, different perspectives, and they have some very unique individual needs. And I find that because of my personality, I am able to have most of my needs met, but many of my friends vegetate at home and are very unhappy. And it would seem to me, if you're looking at categories for makeup of members of the commission, that possibly another category you might add would be that of the military. I understand that the Senate has limited the term in their bill from 5 to 3 years. Certainly I would be in agreement with that, because I do not feel that a 5-year stint in this type of a commission is going to help us out. And one of the things that I would like to see is that if the charge of the commission is going to continue to be research and implementing recommendations on the problems and needs of women, and they're going to continue to educate, I would like this bill to indicate that they must educate a balanced point of view. The commission has been accused of presenting a leftist, feminist, one-sided point of view, and I think that while they would like to deny that and decry it, and they get upset about that, that has happened, and that if they are going to have a conference and they're going to present a point of view for pro-choice, that they should also have representation for pro-life in areas of which are controversial and which are of concern to all women, because those are areas that are of concern. I guess I have trouble with the commission because part of their job is research, and I feel that their research has not been conducted in sometimes a rather scientific way. You know, I've thought about the women that I know in the state of Alaska and why they work. Do you know that out of all of my women friends, the only ones that have to work are single moms? I have one friend that works so that her 3 children can take private music lessons. I have one friend that works to help support the boat that she and her husband enjoy during the summer. I have one friend that works because she has preschool children and she chooses to work part-time. That's her escape or her way of getting out of the home and creating some balance in her life. What I'm trying to say to you is that I feel that the commission has at times brought distorted information and facts to the legislature. It is not that women are out there and they have to work. They choose to work. Now, I think in our society it's wonderful that we have a choice. And if we choose to work outside of the home, that we can. It bothers me when a commission comes to the legislature and says, well, we must do this for women because, after all, these women have to work. They don't have to work. Their husbands make enough money. What they want to do is change their standard of living. And that, to me, puts a big difference of slant on what the legislature should be doing, quote, in the cause of women. Now, there has been one other thing about the former makeup of the commission, and as it is proposed and as amendments are made to the legislation, that I would like to have to see changed. Paula Ziegler, Sherry Gall, and Don Clarkson's wife are former commission members. Those people, their husbands, are all either present or former legislators. Now, we have a term in our government for that. It's called nepotism. And it really bothers me when these women serve on a commission and they have an inside track that I don't. Now, I have been able to call legislative office on this bill, and I have been able to attend a hearing. But I do not know the majority of you in order to socialize with you and I certainly would not feel comfortable calling you at 10 o'clock at night or 6 o'clock in the morning to bend your ear on a piece of legislation. And I feel that these particular women and the contacts that they have those opportunities. And it would seem to me that if this legislation is truly going to be representative of women, and it is a commission, it's not supposed to be a political action group, it is not supposed to be out there pushing a particular philosophical point of view, that commission members should not be those who are closely associated with legislators. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Betty. Are there any comments or questions? Thank you. Mary McClinton?
Thank you. My name is Mary McClinton. I live here in Juneau. I'm a 20-year Juneau resident. And as I sat, I stood and listened to the other women, even though I don't know some of them who testified, I would say that they're right on track with our group. What I would like to offer today, if I may, and I want to apologize because I was in such a hurry to get here on time, I left the most important part at home, but I still know what I want to say. So I'm going to take the bill and speak to it. House Bill 56, I think there should be some amendments. And they may not be in Alaskalese or whatever is necessary, or legislatureese, but I do know what I want, and I do know what the women have been talking to me about and the things that they would like to see on this changes on this bill. If you look at section one, Section 1, where it states the members of the commission shall be appointed on a nonpartisan, non-discriminatory basis by the governor. We have on the commission now several B's and many N's, but their political actions have not shown them to be N's at all. I'm a D, by the way, and I don't agree with some of the terminology. I think that it should be 3-3-3 if it's going to truly be nonpartisan, 3 Democrats, 3 Republicans, and 3 nonpartisans. And then that way we can get all the ideologies and the philosophies mixed up, and we can have a balanced board. The other thing that we would suggest is that where you find status of women, we would like to see welfare of women inserted. And I think that welfare has to do with the well-being and the prosperity of women. And I think that that would be more appropriate than the status. But the meat of the matter, I guess, is the purpose. And when we appeared before the Senate committee, there was some discussion on the purpose. Because I had said here and I said there that advocacy should not be a part of that. Well, the one senator said that he understood that advocacy was the meat of the bill and that this is what the commission really wanted. The other senator said that she didn't see advocacy anywhere in the bill. And then we get into semantics, and I don't know how to argue that, but I do know that the executive director said that advocacy was an important part of what they intend to do. And at that time, I was trying to say to them and say to you that advocacy, as it is being done, is not a balanced sort of advocacy, so maybe we could use different language. to make sure that there is a balance that comes out of this commission. What we are seeing advocated are ideology and philosophy. We wouldn't really mind conditions being advocated. It's just that we want a fair and well-rounded advocacy, if there is to be one. So I would suggest that where purpose is in section 4, I would like to see it read more like this. The purpose of the commission is to improve the welfare of the women in the state by providing a resource referral service of information and education that will inform women of resources available in federal, state, local, and private agencies and through individuals to help them meet their needs. The commission shall also correlate already available information, and there is a lot of information already available, and identify areas where further research may be needed on the needs of women. At no time will the commission assume an advocacy position on issues of concern to women, but instead will provide information on both sides of the issue so women can make their own informed decisions. Now, I was reminded by a legislature that that is called negative legislation, because it's when they say at no time would, and I don't know how else you put it, but that's how I feel, and however it is supposed to be written, I would ask you to do that. The other thing that one lady just spoke to it was about the terms. We're suggesting that the terms be no more than 2 years. We're also suggesting that the independent status will be assured if the governor does not appoint any member who has a close association with a member of the administration or the legislature. We would like to see appointments not being able to succeed themselves more than once. And that's because there is no provision in there to limit the appointments. So these five-year terms could go on and on and on, and somewhere along the line you may see senior citizens being an issue by itself. So I would agree with the women who have spoken already about the association of the members of the commission, who has spoken about the terms. I'd like to see the language of the purpose change, and I would like to also break the categories down. The homemakers is mentioned in here, but I would like to see the commission's composed of a single woman, a single female parent, a senior female, a female married to a male, professional woman, low income, handicapped, minority woman, and a homemaker who is not otherwise employed. And what we got from that was that if you start to enlarge these categories, you'd have an unwieldy group. That's not true, because some of these women could wear two hats. I could very well be a female low-income woman who is married to a male. And somebody else could very well be a handicapped professional woman. And you can still want, another reason it was given that they didn't enlarge the categories was because they like to regionalize the people, but you could find handicapped people or single people in all of the areas, geographical areas or regions. So I would like to say, as I said before, and I will bring you, because I was in a hurry and I took off and left it in the car, the actual language of these suggested changes in the bill. And I keep hearing the term pro-choice, but I keep feeling that we're not getting our chance at having a choice as this commission is as it is now. And if somebody would listen to us, and I remember that the representative said to me, and I want to tell you about this now, he says, Ruth Lister wants to talk, so would you please try to talk with her? And I promised him that I would. And I exchanged telephone numbers with her. Well, not quite. I gave her my telephone number, but she wouldn't like to give me a telephone number where she could be reached. She did tell me to try to reach her through Karen Robinson's office, and I did try that. And I couldn't get anybody there, so I called Karen's home, and I got the recorder phone. And I asked her to please call me back, because it's my understanding that Ms. Lister was leaving on Thursday. And to this date, I have not received a call back. And Ms. Lister did tell me that she tried to reach me, but she got a funny noise on my telephone. And I have a call waiting, so if you don't get a funny noise on my telephone, it rings through. It sounds like it's ringing through, and you get the beep on the other end. And I also have a recorder phone, so you can leave a message on. And no message was left. And if there was a funny noise on my line, I don't know what it was, because we got approximately 15 calls through, because I have two teenagers that same evening. But I still want you to... take the substitute language under consideration, and I'm going to run and get the typed up copy so you can see exactly what I've been speaking to. So my position has not changed since I was with you last, and I thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Are there any comments or questions from anybody? Ruth, are you online?
Breaking in and out. Okay. I've been working on it,
and
so far I haven't been able to
change it.
Betty Benston?
I already spoke, but I signed about five and they gave me
one. Oh, okay, we had it twice here then. Okay, all right, you've signed on two sheets. That's good. I'll underline your testimony. Dorothy Wright.
Right, and I thank you for allowing me to speak. I've only learned of this yesterday, and...
Dorothy, your address for the record, too. And would you push that button forward? Thank you very much. And speak right into the microphone, please.
My name is Dorothy Wright. I live at 3607 B as in boy, Amalga Street. I heard from a friend yesterday, briefly, some of the stands that this Women's Commission makes, and I'm very concerned about their pro-choice. I am pro-life. I'm Alaska Native woman, Tlingit Indian. I was born in Skagway, Alaska in 1952. I'm a divorced single-parent mother, and I am now working at an entry-level position with the state. I want to make known to you that my position, which I know is the position of many Christian women in Alaska, that pro-choice does not consider the life of children who deserve to be born into this world. They're living and they were alive from the time of conception. And pro-choice is simply legalized murder. It's murder of unborn children. And I truly believe that this needs to be addressed, that representation is made by pro-life people in this commission. And I intend to have more input on this, and know all the mechanics of how this commission is taken, so that I can have a better approach when I next come before you. But I do feel that representation must be made for all women if this is truly is going to be an organization working for women. All must be represented, and I know that I'm not speaking from a minority group, of pro-life. And I appreciate your time this morning, and I thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy. Are there any questions or comments from the committee? That's all I have on the record here. Are there any more people that wish to testify? Thank you very much. HB 56 is now before the committee. Are there any discussion? Representative Hammond.
Mr. Chairman, I have three amendments that I would like the committee to consider. I think as directed by the chair, I have them typed out. And the first amendment is to page 2, line 6. I think this is a changing the 5 years and inserting 3 so that the term of office of each member is 3 years rather than 5 years.
Move the amendment.
I move the amendment.
Any discussion? Any objection? So moved.
Mr. Chairman, I have two others. Well, let me pass out the next one that I have here. The next amendment is to page 1, line 15. The line now states, at least one member must be a homemaker. And this amendment would insert, at least two members must be homemakers who are not otherwise employed. I move the amendment.
Mayor, is there any discussion?
Excuse me, can we have a minute?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're at ease for a minute.
All right, we let the committee stand at ease.
I apologize, I'm voucher. I don't know what's going on.
That's all right. You probably got gremlins in the satellite.
Anchorage keeps coming in and out, and I don't know why. Everything's coming across fine.
I don't have that written up. I just don't know. Commissioner should serve no more than 2 consecutive terms. That's appropriate.
Why not this one here?
If it's 3 years, that would be 6 years. That was one of the Marys I wrote down. I don't have that in print.
What about your thought on that? 2 consecutive terms.
I don't have that in an amendment. I've got an amendment that has the 333 that I talked about.
Yes, right.
I don't have that. As I said, I can make it. I don't have that one typed up.
Mr. Chairman, I'm fine.
He's going to check out the
one.
see two.
Veronica, I'm going to ask Red to make room and then put like a chair here.
Because two homemakers, it wouldn't make any difference whether they were D's or I's or N's or...
Right, but it adds to, if this has two homemakers and the other piece has two homemakers as well.
In case that one doesn't pass. Members must, these two members must be, well, you've included that again here. We put major up, right, inserted major here. I know the language in the AFOC was a little bit different.
Well, I understand where Ellis is coming from, but at the same time, I don't know if I want to strap the governor in that much. You know, there's a lot of moving pieces.
Call the committee back to order.
So I really appreciate...
As a woman who got started in political life as a traditional homemaker, I...
Is Representative Menard still out there? All right, call the committee back to order at 9:44. We have a second amendment before us. Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The second amendment, I think some of the testimony here has indicated that probably a much greater percentage than 10% of the population are homemakers, and if just one, well, a 1 in 9 or 1 in 10 of the people not, you know, now indicated in the bill would have to be a homemaker who was otherwise not employed. This would simply be increasing that number to 2. I think the suggestion here this morning was to make that 3. I think this would probably be a good compromise that 2 members must be homemakers who are not otherwise employed.
Oh, really?
You've heard the amendment. Is there any objection?
I'll object, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Downey? Are there any further discussion on it?
Yes, Mr. Chair. As a woman who first became active politically as a traditional homemaker with my children at home, I'm glad for the inclusion of a homemaker who's not otherwise employed. I think maybe 2 may unduly limit the governor in terms of the appointments he could make, and I would object.
Any other comment? You have the amendment before us. All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Opposed. The amendment failed. We have another amendment before us, Representative Hammond.
Mr. Chairman, the third amendment that I have prepared is on page 1. It would delete lines 12 through 17, and it would state, the members of the commission shall be appointed on a non-discriminatory basis by the governor within 60 days of, well, I guess that's eliminated. The governor shall appoint 9 members to the commission. 3 members shall be from each of the 2 major political parties and be chosen from a list of 5 names submitted by the central committee of each party, and 3 members shall be from the governor's list. The members must be residents of the state. Mr. Chairman, I think much of the testimony that we've heard has indicated that the representation hasn't been broad-based, that all women are not represented on this commission. I think regardless of the governor, that this would provide for some better representation. At least the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, could submit 5 names of people that they thought would perhaps represent their views. And regardless, if the governor's a Republican, there would be 3 Democrats on the committee. Now with the governor a Democrat, the present makeup of the commission, I think, is 4 Democrats, and the rest are, I guess, 6 people, including the ex officio, are listed as N's. So that there is not a member on the commission at the present time from the Republican Party. So I know this is not supposed to be a partisan committee, but I think it has become that by virtue of the fact that some people have been excluded. I think this would eliminate the some of the partisanship and some of the lack of representation that's been cited by some of the people giving testimony.
Thank you, Representative Hanley. You have the amendment before you. Are there any objections?
Objection.
Representative Donnelly.
Objection.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative
Speaking
Donnelly.
To my objection, members should, I seem to read this as if we just voted down the last amendment, this incorporates the last amendment within this amendment also. So we do the same thing as the last amendment, as well as expanding it to the parameters of the choice to include consideration of political parties. I think just as with the federal judiciary, I think the consideration of political parties would be a mistake and should maintain its nonpartisan nature in the statutes. Certainly we hope that the executive branch that has the power to appoint would do that. Of course, there's been a failure to do that with the federal judiciary in several years, and there's been arguments that that's starting to become biased on one side of the issue, too. So I would like to see it maintain its nonpartisan nature.
Any other comments?
I need to add my objection there. As I mentioned before, in addition, a central committee of each party making recommendations, I think, is over-politicizing the issue and really and wholly inappropriate to be as part of this legislation.
Any further comments? Representative Hanley, do you wish to speak again?
I think if it would make any difference, I'd be happy to delete at least two members must be homemakers at least two members. I would be happy to have that deleted from the amendment since we've already voted on that and it's been defeated. So I would like to have the amendment considered based on just the first, you know, the first. I think the result will be the same, but I would like to clarify that this amendment would not include the last four lines.
Yes.
No objection.
I move the amendment. I'm not sure if I've done that.
All right.
I move
the amendment. Move the amended amendment. Are there any further comments? Is there an objection?
Objection.
Okay. Objection to the amended amendment. Anyone else?
I would like to make a statement that I object to the amended amendment because I don't see the Alaska Women's Commission as a political commission.
Thank you, Representative McLean. Any further comments?
Mr. Chairman, I would hope then that perhaps in making future appointments that the governor would take some of the testimony into consideration and some of the concern by the people, because I think that there would be a lot more support if we had a broad-based commission. And I think probably all the testimony that we've heard in the two meetings that we've considered this legislation probably would be reduced greatly if we had a commission that represented more women.
Thank you, Representative Hanley. Representative Downey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the remarks of Representative Hanley are well taken, and we hope that we can have a more that the public would perceive this as being a truly representative commission. Whether or not it is a question of an issue here, of course, but we hope that the public perception improves over time, and I think the remarks will.
Thank you. We have the amendment before us. All of those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
The amendment fails. Do we have any more amendments before us?
Mr. Chairman, based on the testimony, I would like to offer an amendment to page 2, line 6. I don't have this in writing. I have just added this to my sheet, but that says a term of office of each member is, and we have amended that to 3 years. After 3 years, I would like to add, a commissioner shall serve no more than two consecutive terms.
Two
consecutive terms. That would be a total of 6 years.
You've heard the amendment?
I move the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any objection? So moved. Are there any more amendments to come before the body? We have HB 56 back before the committee for discussion. I'd like to, if there's no more questions, I'd like to entertain a motion to pass HB 56 out of committee with individual recommendation. Representative Downey?
Mr. Chairman, I move the bill with individual recommendation.
Second.
Any objection?
Mr. Chairman, according to the rules, if Representative Hanley wishes to speak, there's simply a motion on the table, and you certainly could speak to it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to reflect some of the comments of one of the Mrs. Bankston who spoke, because one of my concerns is the fiscal note on this bill. I think at the present time, there is no commission. We are creating, again, a women's commission. There was an interim commission created. And somehow this is misleading that we have a zero fiscal note, and it said no additional funding is required. And yet when I looked at the line item in the governor's budget, there is an increased amount for next year's Women's Commission over what was allowed the last time we had a Women's Commission. I think the zero fiscal note is misleading. Someone indicated that it won't be more general funds, it will be in grants. I think I did have a conversation with the executive director. I think that information should be appropriately included when we're considering this. I know many people are concerned about fiscal notes now, and I think if indeed anything we say or do makes no difference, it's going to be a line item in the governor's budget anyway. We've probably wasted a lot of time. And if this is legitimate legislation, and I think a more accurate, a fiscal note that reflects the cost of the commission per year should have been included.
Is there any further comments? As chair, I would like to make a brief comment with the indulgence of the committee. One of the things that a chairman does is to create a body of evidence as a piece of legislation moves forward. I purposely have not commented or made any what I felt a testimony on this particular piece of legislation, because I feel I play a rather unique role. The ultimate body are the 40 people who stand on the floor of the House. Whether I agree or disagree with a piece of legislation, I do not intend to use the so-called power of the chair to thwart the collective will of the people, because in a democratic process, as the give and take, and certainly the testimony that's been brought here by Sue and by Mary, very thoughtful. Whether you agree or disagree with this, one message that should come through loud and clear, and I would like to state it for the record, and it's been stated before. There is a significant, whether it be majority, minority, that isn't important. There is a significant portion of women in the state that do not feel that there is a broad enough scope, that they feel left out within the commission. I have talked to Ruth Lister about this. I know that she has a desire to make sure that the scope of the committee is as broad as possible and that there is adequate representation. And I would say to those who have testified, if you continue to make your presence as known to the commission before their commission meetings, I feel that there will be a significant change. So I commend you for coming before us. I hope that you didn't think that I was going to stop the bill here based on the testimony. What I wanted to do was to create the vehicle, and in the true sense of the democratic process, especially in the state of Alaska, move it on to the next committee of referral, which is finance. Now, this bill can either come from the Senate side or come from the House side. Somebody said, well, don't do anything. Just sit on it. It'll come over from the Senate side. Well, I don't believe in playing those type of games. I just believe in getting the issue adequately before the public. If there is anybody who does not feel that that testimony has been included. One, I think it was Mary, said she had additional information. Please feel free that you can, even after this piece of legislation moves on, that you can add it to the body of information. With that, HB 56 moves on to the next committee of referral. And I thank all of you who have taken your time to provide a body of testimony. All right, let's see, we're at 2 minutes of 10, and there is a majority caucus at 10 o'clock. I would like to get on with the rest of the business of the day, because this is one of the few days that we don't have floor action. Let me see. The next item that was going to be before us is HJR1.
Can you please read the draft we got there?
What I've seen of it, yeah.
Representative Boucher, are we still in teleconference on this?
I don't think we may be. Dennis,
it's in and out apparently.
Yeah. We're trying to be. The gremlins are in the satellite this morning.
Okay. On HJR1, Representative Hanley and myself were the subcommittee.
Yes.
On that,
like,
and we have got a preliminary proposal put together. Representative Hanley hasn't had that. We just got it back from drafting this morning, and I didn't want to. I wanted to give her plenty of opportunity to consider it. Maybe we could run through it with the committee. If my staff, have they furnished the committee with copies of our drafts yet?
I gave them a copy.
Okay. The committee staff could make copies for the members. We could discuss it. I briefly discussed the proposal with Representative Brown. Basically, Mr. Chairman, the concerns we addressed in the last meeting led to the possible abuses for political or other personal motivation by individuals of this amendment, since for the first time we're creating a civil cause of action against public servants. The law generally, safeguards against frivolous action are less prevalent in cases of public policy or constitutional law, where the courts have frequently looked with disfavor upon awarding attorney's fees to the government when the plaintiff has been a citizen rightfully seeking the litigation of some public policy issue or constitutional issue. They look with disfavor upon awarding attorney's fees in those cases, much more so than they would in your typical civil suit. Because of that, because we're creating a new cause of action with the constitutional amendment, the opportunity for abuse would be much greater than in other sectors of the civil law, in my opinion. That's why I think it would be very appropriate to be very careful about the cause of action that we create by this amendment, and also to be with companion legislation to specify address several very specific concerns that we may be faced with once this was become part of our Constitution. First of those would be the defense of public officials, and if the recent case of the impeachment case led us to learn anything, is that we ought to have a clear statement of the law about who defends and who's responsible for the defense of public officials in the course of their public actions. I believe that it should be mandatory that the Legislative Affairs Agency should underwrite the costs and attorney's fees necessary to the defense of any member who a suit was filed against. If it was an optional matter, it certainly would be open for political abuse, with counsel being provided to majority members and not to minority members. If it was not provided at all by the state, it would certainly open a huge political issue in that an individual could simply file multiple lawsuits against their opponent forcing them to hire an attorney and go into court, and given the previous reluctance of courts to award attorney's fees in public interest lawsuits and such, it may be very little deterrent to doing that, and we could have our whole business the rest of our lives tied up here by multiple lawsuits that we would have to hire counsel to defend. It would become more costly to be a legislator than we'd ever get paid. Because of this reluctance of the court, and because of this new cause of action, I think there should be some sort of fixed civil penalty available.